us here in just a little bit, and Mark will be talking about the upcoming duels over the weekend at Carver Hawkeye Arena, and also looking back at Iowa and Michigan, and that will be coming up on the program. Wyatt Schultz will join us as well, who covers wrestling, high school wrestling, and college wrestling, but we'll talk a lot of specifics about high school wrestling, and he, of course, with the predicament, and we get ready for sectionals, believe it or not, coming up this weekend around the state of Iowa in classes 1A and 2A wrestling. And just amazing, that this season for basketball and wrestling has gone as fast as it has. But that is the case. And we've got basketball coming up tonight for you as Iowa State at 5:30. We'll join up with the pregame with the Cyclone Radio Network. They will be taking on the West Virginia Mountaineers at Hilton Coliseum tonight. 5:30, we'll join up with the pregame, and 6 o'clock, just past 6 o'clock, with the tip-off from Ames. 7 o'clock tonight, we will have the story as UNI travels to Evansville to take on the Purple Aces. And, again, that will be a 7:05 tip-off. We'll have it for you on 107.5, along with 106.3 FM coming up this evening. And Mark Dukes, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And game in Iowa City last night, which I know you did not attend because you were doing high school basketball, but a third victory for the Iowa men's basketball team.
Yeah, we'll talk about that coming up here before we get to Mark in just a little bit. And, of course, Iowa State taking on West Virginia. Nick Weiler-Babb not in the lineup tonight, probably not for the weekend as well, as Iowa State will head to Waco to take on Baylor, battling some tendonitis. And so he's going to be out, and that's going to take a team that's already not real deep and thin it out a little bit more. Plus, you take out your point guard. People are going to have to shuffle around a little bit with Wigington, maybe moving to a little bit more point. And it's not a recipe going up against a team that likes to press in Press Virginia.
Not at all. It was going to be an uphill climb without Weiler-Babb, but will be even more so tonight. You mentioned West Virginia's defense. It has the Defensive Player of the Year in the league, and just a very tough team, but see what Iowa State can do. I'm not optimistic.
But you never know. Never know how it will play out. Last night at Carver Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City, Iowa comes up with their third Big Ten victory as the Hawkeyes beat Minnesota, a depleted Minnesota team that had only eight scholarship players ready to go in that game last night. And it's been a while since you've seen five Hawkeyes in double figures. But offense was cooking again last night. The defense, for the most part, I thought was a little bit better. Still had their moments where they had problems. But it was a win that Iowa needed to have last night, and Iowa checked it off the box.
Well, and it's a game that Iowa should have won, considering Minnesota's injury situation. Iowa had three guys out as well. But I think it was a better game regardless of the opponent and its situation. Iowa actually with six players in double figures.
Yeah, six. I'm sorry.
And, you know, the Hawkeyes only had eight turnovers, and that's a marked difference from a lot of games. Shot the three-point ball well, nearly 50%, and just a good, solid overall game. And I'm here to say Jordan Bohannon's having a really nice season.
He really
Maybe
is.
Maybe that's an understatement. I don't know.
He really is. And I'm not going to say he's been criticized or anything like that, but I think people are – I think people sympathize with his predicament, that he's not a true point guard. He's more of a combo guard, shooting first, maybe point guard second, but he's had to take over that point guard duties this year. And like you said, I think he's really put together a very fine season. And he had one of those nights last night that I have seen many nights over at Linmar and following the Lions, where you can just see in his eye that he knows it's going to go in each time he shoots the basketball. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the way it was last night watching Jordan Bohannon. But, yeah, pretty good win for the Hawkeyes last night. But you take it with a grain of salt because that was a Minnesota team that's that is really reeling at this point. Who knows if Richard Pitino is going to be back next year for on-the-court or off-the-court situations that are going on in Minneapolis. But that's a program that has had, man, more you know, more roller coaster rides than the tornado over in Des Moines so far in his tenure.
Yeah, and then up comes Michigan State next Tuesday. Is that right? Iowa's next game.
Yes, I believe
and
so.
And speaking off the court problems, so that'll be obviously a test. But it being at home, it'll be a very interesting game for Iowa, and if it can patch some things up defensively, maybe give the Spartans a game.
Yeah. What do you think about it? You can let us know on the Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line at 319-366-1600. Brought to you by Hurtina Stocker Jewelers. They are located on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City. Again, that's 319-366-1600. Still time left in the Big Ten Conference. Can Iowa put together a little bit of a run, perhaps? I'm not saying that Iowa's going to get in the upper division or anything like that, but maybe just a run to get some momentum going before they head off to New York City at the end of next month, which will be this month, tomorrow, in February, and start things off at Madison Square Garden. That's the question.
Yeah, it's and it's a big one. There's no question about it. Actually, Iowa plays Penn State in University Park on Saturday before that Michigan State game in Iowa City. Department of Corrections following through. Thank you. You know, it's kind of... Just look at the schedule, Scott, at Penn State. Penn State plays Michigan State tonight, I believe. Then that game against Michigan State. Then you have to go to Ohio State at Michigan. I mean, name a game in there that's going to be even a toss-up. None of them.
No. They're going to be hard.
Indiana, Minnesota, Northwestern, concluding the regular season before the Big Ten tournament. So... it won't be easy. Nobody said it was going to be.
No. But, yeah, it's daunting, but I think it's can be doable. Can Iowa win at Penn State? Sure, they can win at Penn State, but the Nittany Lions are a much better squad, and, of course, they started off and kick-started the woes for the Iowa basketball team way back in December as they came into Iowa City and pulled off the upset that night, or at least we thought it was an upset at that point, so... Maybe Iowa can exact some revenge. Who knows? Who knows how it'll play out? 319-366-1600. Mark Ironside is going to join us here in just a couple minutes, and then we're going to get to Wyatt Schultz here in just a little bit. For those that are following these things, we've got the girls' basketball pairings will be coming out later on for classes 4A and 5A for the girls' tournaments. And then right after that, tonight are the big seating meetings around the state of Iowa for the smaller classes. That should be very entertaining. Mm-hmm. I would love to have a closed-circuit television to see one of those, especially one that's got a lot of good teams in it. Just to see. I'm not expecting, you know, pushing or shoving or anything like that or yelling, but just to see how they determine how the seeds are going to play out. I've heard many different variations from last year when it was started for the first time. So, I'd like to see that. Closed circuit television.
Be that little mouse in the corner, huh?
I would like to be that mouse in the corner and see how it all plays out. But that'll be coming up tonight. And then next week, they'll have the 3A and 4A boys. They'll determine their seeds as well.
You've got a new quarterback in Kansas City.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Not sure. I'm not sure. Chief fans, no Alex Smith anymore. He has been traded, not yet officially, but all of the all the T's have been crossed, the I's have been dotted. Alex Smith heading off to the nation's capital to play for the Washington Redskins. And Patrick Mahomes, the era is underway. Chiefs got a really good corner with Fuller coming in, and with Barry coming back off the Achilles, and with Marcus Peters on the other side, I like to find a better secondary in the National Football League than the Kansas City Chiefs right now. I like that part of it. Is Patrick Mahomes ready after a one-game, you know, dress rehearsal in Week 17 against a non-playoff team in Denver on the road? I guess that is the question to find out. But the Chiefs, business-wise, it made sense because they're saving a bunch of salary, a bunch of space, want to do well on the defensive side as far as the draft is concerned, so I have no problem with
Smith that. Is 33, and the Chiefs are freeing up $20 million in cap space, so it makes sense from a business standpoint. Whether Mahomes is the guy remains to be seen. It also opens up the question about Kirk Cousins. And that's the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com today, brought to you by Emo's Hideaway. What team will Kirk Cousins be playing with in 2018? Would it be the Jets, the Jags, the Broncos, Bills, Browns, or another team? Thanks to Emo's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
I would have to vote, if I had to do it, for the Denver Broncos.
Broncos aren't married to Trevor Siemian, right?
Don't think so.
Yeah.
Don't think so. But I don't want to see. I like Kirk Cousins. I do not want to see him across the ball twice a year for the Denver Broncos coming up. That's just my opinion. I would rather not have that happen at this point. And
who knows what the Browns will do? I mean, Tyrod Taylor got the Bills to the postseason this year. Kind of an underrated guy, maybe not in the category of Kirk Cousins. The Jets always seem to be needing a quarterback.
True.
I don't know.
Yeah, he could wind up in a lot of different places. 15 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the Gym Class on KGYM. We will take a break, come back. Mark Ironside is going to be joining us, and plenty to talk about. We'll look back at Iowa and Michigan. Hawks dropped to 7th, by the way, in the latest wrestling rankings. And we'll talk about the Polar Plunge, which had some last-minute substitutions that we'll let you know about. We'll do that with Mark when we come back. Listening to the Gym Class Wednesday edition here on KGYM. Back with more after this.
You know that Iowa City is the epicenter of wrestling. Now it's time to show the world. The 2018 Freestyle World Cup is coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena April 7th and 8th. This is your chance to see not only the best in the United States, but the best in the world. Team USA will lay it on the line against the top 7 wrestling countries in the world in this team competition. For ticket information, visit WorldCupIowaCity.com or call 1-800-IA-HAWKS.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents The World's Worst Boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Underlings, I'm sensing some tension between us lately, so I'm proposing a peace offering.
A peace offering?
Yes, by this time tomorrow, you are all expected to give me a peace offering. Gifts, cash, compliments, whatever.
What do we get out of it?
You get to keep working here, if your peace offering is deemed worthy.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
You guys want to do it?
Ryan Peck drives to rural towns every week, bringing music to kids who need it most.
From the top, ready?
He dreams of showing people the importance of music in a child's life. American Family Insurance is helping make that happen right now.
Keep on sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep
American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Eastern Iowa sports is their domain. Back to the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
Basketball coming up tonight, 5:30. We'll start the pregame for Iowa State, West Virginia. That'll be on 1600 AM. If you'd like to tune in to the Tom Primal Camp Show with Alex Kuhn at that time, you will need to tune in either to 107.5 FM, the North Gym, or 106.3 FM, the South Gym. They got a good show as well. They're going to have Tom Brands coming on. We're very wrestling heavy today on the program. So that will be coming up between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock here tonight. We're going to talk as well in just a little bit with our friend Wyatt Schultz from The Predicament. Plenty to talk about as far as high school wrestling is concerned as we get into the month of February, which starts up tomorrow. And on February the 3rd, it'll be sectionals coming up from 1A's and 2A's. So Right around the corner. Oh, Brands tomorrow. I'm sorry, Brands tomorrow. Thank you, Kyle. That'll be tomorrow that they'll talk to Tom Brands. But we're going to talk to Mark right now. What are you saying?
What do you need me for? You got Tom Brands.
That's tomorrow.
Mark Ironside joining us courtesy of Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. And they are located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. And they are right across from the Johnson Avenue High V. Thank you, Kurt, very much for helping us out here on KGYM. You warmed up yet?
No, I'm not. I don't think I've taken this jacket off all week since that day.
What was worse? Now, you guys had to make it audible because the ice was too thin, right?
Yep.
For everybody to wander out on it. So you brought in
a
swimming pool.
An inflatable swimming pool, which was big. I mean, it was a big pool. I mean, you see in people's backyards.
Right.
You know, 4 foot deep. It was awesome. It was a lot easier this year because of the pool versus jumping in the pond. You jump in the pond, you don't touch, and you literally have to move your limbs to start getting towards the shore. And then when you do actually get your footing, it's, you know, muddy, sandy. You know, it's not like it's a nice flat surface in a 4 foot pool, and you can run over to a ladder and climb on out. So it was a lot easier this year.
Two straight days of pictures in the paper about made me sick with you. But,
hey, be glad this guy has singlet on. People would have had to look at the coconuts for 2 days in a row.
Well, you were on the podium for money raised, but not number one.
No, I was
which
not.
Which is a good and a bad thing,
it's
really.
It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. If I can raise $32,000 every year and still get third, that's a fantastic problem to have for the club, for me. So, and I'm completely fine and happy with that.
Yeah. $186,000.
It's insane.
Isn't it?
That is absolutely insane.
Where did
McDonough
get $186,000? Where did he get the inspiration for that?
Where did he get that? $30,000 almost on the last day.
Well, no, I mean that costume.
Nick Heron too.
That's cool. McDonough and Brooks was awesome. I don't know if you guys actually seen it live or on the news when they played it when they're the theme Baywatch. You know, Brooks was the lifeguard and McDonough's lifeguard, and they're running like slow motion, and it was very well done. There were some great costumes and get-ups and. There were some different entertaining things before they got in the water. It was good. And it was nice this year, too, because at the pool, they had a nice platform that you stepped up on and walked up on, and it was really safe and nice. And, people could see a lot easier with the pool where it was this year. So I think it was all good. There was like 500 people there.
That was awesome.
Probably difficult to participate for some after watching the Iowa-Michigan meet.
Yeah. I mean, you take it with a grain of salt. I wasn't too upset. I mean, obviously, you don't like to lose. That's, you know, and I mean, it's never any fun. Having Michael Kemmer out of the lineup for that meet obviously hurt.
What's up with that?
Well, he tweaked his knee a little bit at the Ohio State match, which everybody saw that was watching on TV, and then he limped off the mat. And so during the week, it was just a situation where, you know, it was still sore. I don't really believe it's like an injury. I mean, he's in the lineup and scheduled to wrestle this weekend. It was more so precautionary. He actually got dinged up a little bit against Okie State, which nobody really knew or saw either, and something different. So it was just time to give him a kind of a week off, and unfortunately it was, you know, against a tough, you know, opponent like Michigan, and we ended up losing the dual meet. And I don't want to say because of it, because we still had an opportunity to win that dual meet even without Kemmer in the lineup. And, I thought maybe possibly if we were going to pull an upset, it would have been at, 84. I thought Bowman might be able to pull that out, but he didn't. Big match at 141, like we talked about. That was a great big match for Vince Turk, even though it wasn't, you know, in grand fashion by any means. But he did win in overtime, so that was big. That set, you know, gave us an opportunity, you know, to win the meet towards the end. And I think the biggest disappointment, at least for me, was at 197 with Cash Wilkie. And it's a situation where, I mean, everybody says, well, my goodness, you know, we couldn't win that one. The other guy's ranked 14th or 12th or whatever, and ranked 5th, you know, and just like we didn't do anything, you know, really towards the end. Well, it was just, this is the first time all year it was really kind of prevalent that, in the fact that it came down to that almost. But it's been happening all year. We have wrestled way too many overtime matches. And in, almost, I want to say, unfortunately for Cash, is the fact that he's won them, you know? So he's been sneaking by, and he thinks it's okay. We need to get him on track to start getting to his offense and hitting his shots earlier on in a match and not wait until the last minute to try and sneak something in. And it doesn't matter if you're wrestling Moore from Ohio State, which we didn't do anything against him either, or wrestling the guy who wrestled from Michigan. You know, you go out and you put points on the score. He got a takedown the first period, but it was kind of off of a poor shot, you know, by the guy who was wrestling, and he kind of hit a real quick throw by. The guy touched for literally just a split second and then got an escape, and he was out. I mean, it wasn't like he shot, made a really nice duck attempt or double or single and you know, scored on his own shot. It was really quick, and I don't know. It just, that's the match to me that I think we for sure let get away, and it was kind of the breaker of the meat right there.
Yeah, and it came down to the heavyweights, and two good ones going at it. Adam Kuhn rated second, Sam Stoll rated third. Kuhn got the takedown, and he's quick for a heavyweight. I mean, not that Sam Stoll's not, but Kuhn's very good on his feet.
He's very athletic. He can change his levels, even though there wasn't really any level changes in that match. It kind of came down to where both of those guys are Greco guys, and it was just a lot of upper body
just
type of stuff.
Trying to throw each other.
Yeah. But what really impressed me with Sam Stoll in that match is his ability to get out from underneath Kuhn with you know, his knee. I still wonder about Stoll's knee and how good it really is and how functional he is with it. And he showed me against Kuhn on Sunday with the way he got out from underneath that you know, it's in pretty good shape. He can do quite a bit there.
Friday night, 8 o'clock, Iowa, Minnesota. This is a meet Iowa should win.
Well, yeah, we don't win this one. We're in trouble. Minnesota. This is about as weak as Minnesota's been for quite a few years. Really weak. But they've got big matches at 125 and Lezak. Lezak, really long, lengthy 25-pounder. It's obviously the same guy, if anybody remembers last year, that was beating Gilman going in the third period by like 8 points. We come back and we start beating him and then pin him. You know, but he was turning Gilman on top, and that's where Lezak's really, really good, is that top position.
He's from Pennsylvania. They might met Lee at one time. I don't know.
Could be. I don't know. You know, Lezak's a junior or a true freshman. They're about 4 years apart then, so they may not have, you know. Plus, I'm sure Spencer was probably a little bit lighter of a weight than what Lezak was. But that, regardless, is at least – on paper, that could be a good match. It's, you know, hyped up to be. I don't honestly look for it to be close at all. Spencer Lee is just in a league of his own right now. He just keeps getting better and better and better. The other match, same thing, 165 on paper. Looks like it could be a good match between Alex Marinelli and Wanzak. But again, if Marinelli goes out and he wrestles like he's capable of wrestling, I don't look for that one to be. It might not be a big dominating score, like, you know, 15-4 or something like that. But I look for like a pretty decisive 8-4 type match, or 6-3 or something like that. The one thing about Marinelli, though, is he let up a little bit in against Massa from Michigan. He could have scored, I think, at the end of that match a couple of different times. He could have scored a couple more takedowns. And instead of taking kind of that easy 4-3 win, I think we could have done a little bit more damage there. Not that we would have gotten the major, but still, anytime you get an opportunity where the guy was tired, he was getting out of position, and we literally just kind of stood there and watched him while he was on his knees, that's not good. I mean, Marinelli's better than that, and that's
put it away.
It does. He for sure could have put it away, and instead of keeping it a 1-point match, and you know, hopefully Marinelli, you know, learned from that. I know that, you know, Coach Tom Brands let Marinelli know that in the team meeting afterwards, and I'm sure Marinelli will probably never let that happen again.
Yeah, this is the last time some guys are going to be out on the mat at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Coming up this weekend.
Sunday morning.
10 in the morning.
10 in the morning against Northwestern.
You going to be up? You going to be ready to go?
Oh, yeah. I'll be all excited and ready to be there. 10 a.m.? I don't know if I've ever gone to a dual meet anywhere in college.
Why is that?
10 a.m. Well, the women's team, basketball team, has a game, I believe, at 2, which, you know, it's a Sunday, so you don't really have Sunday evening matches, you know, like say, you know, 7 o'clock or something like that. They're usually Sunday afternoons, and I think to sneak it in, it works out. So everybody, you know, they can get up in the morning, Sunday morning, head right to the Carver Hawkeye Arena. That's pretty exciting. I'm excited about it. 10 a.m. match. Let's go do this, and then go home and, well, in my case, you know, coach my daughter's softball team, and then watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Super Bowl may have something to do with it, why it's Sunday morning too, because they're not going to have the wrestling meet after the women's basketball game go up head-to-head versus the Super Bowl.
Absolutely not.
Because you're going to lose.
Yes. Yes. I think it's going to be great. I think the attendance should be really, really good with it being a 10 a.m. meet on Sunday. I think, you know, with it being senior day, you know, we'll see off Brandon Sorensen. So, you know, we'll see. Time will tell. But, you know, Northwestern, they got a good 25-pounder, too. I've been hearing, you know, rumors that this kid's pretty good or whatever. He's only a freshman as well. Sebastian Rivera, 20-1. He's only got one loss on the year. I think this this kid from Northwestern is probably better than Lezak, in my opinion. You know, he hasn't really wrestled a whole lot of people this year, but it's going to be a good weekend for, or I hope it's a good weekend for Spencer Lee.
Tom Brand said after the match against Michigan, it's not the end of the world. But, what is something, I'm paraphrasing here, we're getting closer to it.
Yeah.
Or something like that. What do you mean by that?
You know, you'll have to ask him tomorrow. You know what I'm kind of surprised about by that is the fact that I've thought that many times, and he's never said that. He's been very, very positive. Hey, this ain't the end of the world. You know, here's why. You know, a lot of good positive. You know, he's very, very good at, you know, even though maybe inside he's just burning inside and just feeling with rage and just he keeps it in check. He keeps it under control. He doesn't let the team see it as much. So there's a lot of times I thought that should have been said a long time ago. We're not at the end of the world, but hey, we're getting close here.
We didn't say
that meet, though. I was like, I don't know. That one to me, I just kind of, I don't want to say fluffed off because, like I said, it's no time, you know, there's never a good time to lose. But I wasn't too upset with the meet. Oh, really? Honestly? I mean, you give us Kemmer and you take, you know, and if Wilkie will learn to wrestle a little bit, I think we're all right there, you know. So, and Michigan's a good team, but I don't know. I'm
not
saying
it was
the
end of the universe. No, just the world.
Just the world. Yeah, the world we live in. So yeah, that'd be a good question for him. I think there's some things that have just been kind of coming to head and kind of a long time coming. But I think the Iowa wrestling program is in very good hands. I think it's you know, coming along. The future's very bright, and we're doing a lot of good things right now. I mean, I think honestly, like last year, year before, you could have been saying, "Uh-oh, this is looking ugly right now." You know, it's not the end of the world, but it's getting close. But now it's actually going the other way. So I don't know. You'll have to ask him, Mark.
He's going to be on the Todd Brommacamp show with Alex Kuhn.
Oh yeah.
Last time John Brands was on this show, he said, "God, you ask tough questions."
Maybe he doesn't want to, you know, return.
So he probably didn't want to be on this show. Not that those guys don't ask tough questions, because they do. Here's a tough question for you. As a wrestler, as a champion, how do you view a guy like Tom Brady?
I like Tom Brady. I think he's a heck of a competitor. I think the more pressure you put on the guy, the better he performs.
Do you have a dog in the hunt for the Super Bowl?
No.
No?
Don't
no.
care?
Don't. I don't care.
You're not a New England hater?
No. I don't. I honestly, I follow football, nothing. Zero zilch.
Oh, really?
Nothing. Mm-mm. Never. I watched an NFL game all year. Not one. I don't know if I've watched 30 seconds of an NFL game all year.
It's not wrestling.
You always been like that?
Pretty much, yeah. The only time I really get into the Super Bowl or the playoff, NFL is playoff time is Super Bowl. Then I'll kind of watch a little bit of like postseason stuff. Then to me, it gets kind of exciting. But
maybe I need to get you in a pool or something.
I don't sit. Honestly, I just can't sit and just watch. I don't follow things like that. I read things, I see things or whatever, but I just don't get into it. You know, although I am a big Cubs fan. I love to watch the Cubs. More than anything, I like to listen to them on the radio. But I'm a big Cubs fan. But even with that being said, it's extremely hard for me to sit and just watch a game, the entire game. I can't do it. Now, my daughter Hannah, on the other hand, "Dad, hey, hurry up, get in here. You just missed it." You know, I mean, she will sit through that whole entire game and knows everything and just, she can do it, but I don't know. I'm just so busy. It's all the time. It's, you know, if you're not working, you're wrestling or working on a race car or mowing the lawn or, I mean, it's always something.
That race car takes too much time, man.
Another random question.
No, we got one from a listener here.
Okay, go
by
ahead.
By the way, Darren called in to Kyle. wants to know, with four guys with chances at national titles, can Iowa compete with, I assume that is Ohio State, Penn State, not only in the Big Ten, but also in the NCAAs?
Can Iowa compete with Ohio State and Penn State? Is that what
Yes, for two straight tournaments.
At this point in time, I think no. I mean, right now, Ohio State and Penn State are in a league of their own. And I think third through about sixth or seventh, probably sixth in the country, is pretty wide open right now, you know. But I really think just right now for this year, even with Spencer Lee in the lineup, even if he wins the Nationals, unless, you know, like what happened this last weekend with Nolf, unless, you know, more of that continues to keep happening for Ohio State or Penn State, which you don't want to wish upon them by any means, I just don't see anybody really nipping at the heels of
him. He's going to be out to the Big Tens, right?
If I had to guess, he'll be out to the Big Tens. But he'll be back. If this is pure speculation on my part, I don't think it's terribly bad. I think it's probably a slight tear or a sprain. But I think it's going to be very, very tender. I think it's going to be very precautionary. They are not going to take any risks with that at all until they have to at the Big Ten Championships. And he will be back for the Big Ten. That's just purely what I personally think.
And you could tell when it happened, something wasn't, it looked awkward. And it looked like something, I'm not going to say, you know, broke or snapped or anything like that, but it was just awkward.
Those guys these days put themselves in so many awkward positions, you know, that it's going to happen. And, you know, it happens. That's why you learn to finish holds properly. You learn to defend holds properly and you don't take shortcuts. And, you know, in a situation like this, even though it's Penn State, even though it's Jason Nolf, I still don't like to see it happen. But at the same time, you know, the way that he turned into his own knee and that, I mean, hey, he's kind of trying to defy the law of physics a little bit there, you know? I mean, it's not supposed to be bent that way. I wouldn't recommend it. So, it is what it is.
Saw Kyle Snyder won the championship at Oregon. Yeah. How'd the Iowa contingent do?
Not great. Corey Clark he went 0-1. He was in a back-and-forth match with the guy that ended up getting beaten in the semi, so he couldn't, you know, proceed on because you have to make the finals before you can wrestle back for a true third, or the guy that if you get beat early on in the tournament, that guy has to at least make it to the semis, and those guys didn't. And Bobby Telfer, I think 1-1, Briak 1-1, Warner, I believe 1-1, but I can't remember for sure. Allie Reagan, who's now training with us, was silver. David Taylor won the tournament. That was a big win for him with a pin in the finals. And Snyder won it. I'm trying to think of who I'm missing from the Hawkeye Wrestling Club that was there. That might be it. It wasn't a bad showing. It wasn't great. You know, Bob Telford gets beat by Zach Ray, who is kind of his nemesis right now here in the United States. We got to get past that. We got to get past these 2-1 matches, you know, with a guy like that. And, I don't know.
Internationally and in the Big Ten.
Exactly.
There you go. All right, man. We'll let you go get warmer. And thanks for stopping by.
Off to the dentist.
Well, that's
fun times.
Have fun with that.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Mark. Mark Ironside.
Penicillin or not?
No.
Is this just a checkup or you're getting some work done?
Work done.
Oh, that's even...
No pain medicine.
I won't need any today. No. Not today.
Sick.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, we'll see you.
Mark's appearance brought to you
he
by...
He wanted to say something, I know.
Kirk Gustafson of American Family Insurance on Edgewood Road Northwest in Cedar Rapids. We'll take a break, come back. We're going to talk more wrestling. Wyatt Schultz is going to join us from the predicament. Talk a little high school wrestling when we come back here at KGYM.
Introducing McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu with favorites for $1, $2, or $3, like the McChicken, the Bacon McDouble, the Happy Meal, and...
A weekend getaway with the husband and kids?
No. But the $1-$2-$3 menu could help you save for one.
Especially if we leave the kids at home.
With Grandma, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Build whatever meal you want with favorites on McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Learning where your DNA comes from with 23andMe.com might just inspire you to explore your connection to the world, like Kate. 45% of Kate's DNA is from the British Isles, so she took a little bike trip through Scotland. And 10% of her DNA is from North Africa, so she paid a call to Morocco. Order a DNA kit with 23andMe.com today and let your 23 pairs of chromosomes show you another way to experience the world. Get over 75 reports on ancestry, health traits, and more at 23andMe.com.
Your car has lots of lights. You've got headlights, interior lights, the light that comes on when you open your glove box. But there's one light that's the pest of the bunch, your check engine light. And at AutoZone, we have the tools to help you troubleshoot the real problem for free. Whether it's something serious or something simple like a loose gas cap, you'll get a MyZone health report to help save you money and hassle down the road. So if your check engine light comes on, come on over to AutoZone and let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
What if hiring could be easier? So even when you're busy, you can still be smart about how you hire. ZipRecruiter posts your job to over 100 job boards with just one click. Then they actively look for the most qualified candidates and invite them to apply. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/will. That's ZipRecruiter.com/will.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the gym class with Unash and Dukes, KGYM.
Back at 3:41, our thanks to Mark Ironside for joining us as we talk some college wrestling. We're going to shift gears, keep it on the mat, but talk some high school wrestling as Wyatt Schultz set to join us here. Usually joins us on Tuesday, but we're thankful to Wyatt for taking time out of his Wednesday to join us here. And much like Mark, Wyatt is also brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. We're talking a lot about Kurt today, which is good, which is good. Always good to talk about Kurt. And he is located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-V. And, Wyatt joins us for a few minutes here today. And good afternoon, Wyatt. How you doing? You recovered from the weekend in wrestling?
Oh, yeah. It's a pretty fun weekend, and you guys were talking about the basketball sectionals and districts coming up. You know, if you'd have said how fast it was last October, I'd have called you out on it. But, you know, once you hit Christmas vacation, you're already on the downhill side.
No doubt about that. Well, let's start off with it was conference tournament weekend last weekend. The CIML always kicks it off with their big one on Friday, and then the MVC, of course, follows up as the big one on Saturday. And I guess let's talk about the MVC first, and City High back on the top of the perch after they snapped Prairie's five-year run.
Yeah, they really did. You know, they had a nice tournament. They had, eight guys in the top four make the semis, you know, with a couple champions. And maybe a little bit of a surprise at 106 with Wood Finley winning that title. Heffley at 152. And then, of course, they had that pretty good match with Dykes and Gordon at 220. Gordon, of course, is a UNI recruit. And so that they had a nice tournament, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the first time since 2002 that they won the MVC, and I think Corey even tweeted out there, put on Facebook that just 6 years ago they finished 13th out of the 14 teams. So 6 years they've come quite a ways.
Quite an accomplishment for Nelson Brands. Put that in perspective, Wyatt.
I don't know if you could actually put it into perspective because, you know, he had that great tournament as a freshman at 106, as a sixth seed, and then to have basically the toughest weight class all 4 years, you know, it's just kind of – maybe a little bit like Cale Sanderson going undefeated for 4 years. You know, it's just pretty much unbelievable. You know, and then to beat the number one 2A kid twice in 2 days or 3 days, Josh Ramirez out of Wallert. It is really quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, it really is. And to have the outstanding wrestler bestowed upon him for four straight years, that's just the cherry on top of the sundae, I guess.
Yeah, it really is. And that's why I say, you know, how do you put it into perspective, you know, with maybe winning somebody four national titles or something? It's really hard to do.
Anything really surprise you in the conference tournaments, Wyatt?
Maybe not really. The WOMAC maybe was a little up in the air as to who would come out on top of that. The Mississippi Valley was basically the same way. Kennedy had a lot of kids out, illnesses just going around like crazy. So a lot of kids are not wrestling. In fact, we're doing the rankings and there's so many kids out. We're checking with coaches just to make sure that they're going to be wrestling in the sectionals and districts this coming up. Because there is so many illnesses going around right now with the flu bug. Kennedy, that probably hurt them a little bit this weekend with illnesses. But they still had a couple of champions in Parker and Saracen.
Yeah, very much so. And you mentioned the WOMAC, and that was a very close meet, coming right down to the end anyway up at Maquoketa.
Right, West Delaware coming out with that, about 20 points ahead of Solon, and West Delaware only had the one champ in Phillips, a couple of other finalists, but they placed seven guys in the top four. Solon was right behind them with a couple champions themselves and Linderbaum and Hoyle. And I don't know, I guess I didn't do a whole lot of checking into if they had any illnesses out. I did talk to Coach the other night, but I guess I didn't bring that up. Williamsburg was not too far behind with a couple champs themselves, and Kesterson's looked like he's back on track to make a run at the state title.
Yep, and then Lisbon. You had Lisbon and Bosco, and then Lisbon coming back and winning, of course, at the Tri Rivers.
Right, Lisbon. What did they have? Like seven champions. The field other than Lisbon is probably a little bit down this year. The Tri Rivers, and of course, then you got the terrible twos up there in El Burnett, in Wilson, and Sloan. A couple of good kids, and Lisbon has kind of set themselves apart. I believe they set a scoring record up there as well, so it'll set up coming up for the sectionals this weekend.
Yeah, which is where we turn to next. Have you figured out where you're going to be going yet?
No, I really haven't. Although the I'd probably go to a 2A sectional someplace. Anamosa actually looks pretty good with Wallert, Monticello over there. You could always go down to Solon with Central DeWitt, Mount Vernon, and Solon is in that, which doesn't look like it would be too bad of a sectional tournament. And then anytime you want to go into a 1A, anytime you throw in some of them good teams like a Lisbon, you know, it automatically solidifies that tournament, and of course Lisbon is hosting. So there's a lot of good choices out there.
There are, and it's interesting because of the way they've kind of selected the teams to go to the district so far this year. You mentioned Anamosa. They've got some local teams around, but then Williamsburg. They've got South Tama, but then Knoxville, Grinnell, Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont, and Albia. So they're seeing teams that they don't usually get to see. Same with Benton, as East Marshall comes over there. And so a little bit different look to some of these sectionals.
Right, you know, and then actually Williamsburg goes over to Knoxville for their district, you know, with a lot of more of them Central Iowa teams. So, you're right, they're really getting a different look. And then, like you had mentioned, with the Benton sectional, teams coming from the west a little more to hit some of those, to hit Benton. So, yeah, it is a little different look. You know, and some of the Liberty, Iowa City Liberty is going over to Assumption. So it'll be interesting to see, actually see how they're doing. I see they're getting they got the new football coach hired, so things are looking up for Liberty.
Yeah, yep. Jeff Gordon, congratulations to him for getting that job right there. And then you've got the thing of the weekend, though, no upsets. Get everybody healthy, get everybody off sick call, and don't lose some of your top-rated wrestlers.
Exactly. You know, talking about the illnesses, and even like Mark was talking about Kemmer, at this point in the season, you just want to get everybody healthy. Sure, you don't like to finish second. You don't like to lose to the Michigans or whatever, but you got to get healthy so that you can make a run for the end of the year.
Then the 3As, they get the week off in essence, if you will, but then they get ready and they jump into it with districts, and so they've got 2 weeks to get everybody healed up and ready to go.
Yes, they do, and you know, you were talking about the CIML last Friday night. That is actually why it used to be held next weekend, the weekend or the Friday night before 1A sectionals. And I think everybody, the coaches and everybody, were complaining because it is such a brutal tournament. And if anybody got injured, they didn't have enough recovery time. So they moved it the night before, like the MVC, just for that fact, in case something happened, they could have some recovery time.
Yep. And it'll be fun. And again, people should remember these sectionals on Saturday start at 12 noon, and it doesn't take long to get through the sectionals.
No, it really doesn't, because you're basically dealing with 16 brackets. So, you know, almost in an hour, you're going through that first round, and you're into the semis already. So if you want to go watch, you better be there early, because especially in these small gyms, small school gyms, they fill up fast. So get there early.
Yeah, that's a big thing right there. And even a little downtime at times, because obviously they got to have a allotment of time between some of the matches in there. So that's
right.
A big 45
minute between matches is what they have to have. So, you know, a lot of these, especially your 1A sectionals with minimal brackets that they may have, a lot of times they may wrestle one round and take a 15-minute break just to give the wrestlers some catch-up time for that 45 minutes.
Do you have a new set of rankings out tomorrow?
The 1 and 2A rankings will come out tomorrow. Hopefully by around that 5 o'clock range, or 5 to 6, and then the 3As will be the following week, right before their district.
Okay.
So we hit them right before the sectionals and districts.
There you go.
Something to look at out there online at thepredicament.com. And hey, Wyatt, we appreciate you changing from Tuesday to Wednesday, and we will talk to you again here, I think, as we get ready for the state tournament. So that should be fun.
Yes, I'm almost looking forward to it. I'll probably go through the rankings myself tomorrow and figure out where I'm going to go on Saturday. My son Paul's already hounding me and wanting to ride along, so we'll get it figured out.
All right, sounds good. Hey, Wyatt, appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. You guys keep up the good work.
All right, thank you. Wyatt Schultz joining us from The Predicament to talk a little high school wrestling. It is brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll get you a Bowling Night in America preview. It's coming up next here in KGYM.
You know that Iowa City is the epicenter of wrestling. Now it's time to show the world. The 2018 Freestyle World Cup is coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena April 7th and 8th. This is your chance to see not only the best in the United States, but the best in the world. Team USA will lay it on the line against the top 7 wrestling countries in the world in this team competition. For ticket information, visit WorldCupIowaCity.com or call 1-800-IA-HAWKS.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com. Member NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Looking back at the glory days while keeping the pulse on the here and now. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
Tomorrow, Kevin Lehman will join us. We'll also talk with a handicapper from Las Vegas and talk about the Super Bowl.
Props.
Prop bets. Coming up tomorrow on the program. Coming up tonight, we got Bowling Night in America, and this preview brought to you by May City Bowl. They're located on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Wednesday night Bowling Night in America.
What's that saying, from the frying pan into the fire? Is that the way it goes?
Heard of yeah. That.
Last week, faced the number one team, Viking, and I think we got 3 out of 4, did we not?
That we did.
What's tonight? Well, the current first place team, Durline Scale.
We're playing the Patriots tonight.
We are playing the Patriots, and each of these guys capable of big games, big series, so we're going to have to respond and see what we can do. Way down on lanes 31 and 32.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. And get the draft, the door opening, closing. But same lanes for them, right?
I guess.
Okay.
Weird things happen on 31 and 32.
On the Durline. On the Durline. Rusty Nails, 42 and 38 on the year, 7th place on the left-hand side of the ledger in the mature Evergreen League. Only 2 games out of 3rd, Scott.
Getting a lot of pins tonight, too.
That should help.
Getting a lot of pins tonight. So just, you know, hit our averages, right? Put the onus on them.
That's a good plan.
The Durline.
I like it.
Mitch and everybody there.
I like it.
Yeah. I've got the game plan figured out.
Roger Taylor, go ahead and stay home. Klein, go ahead and stay home.
Which one?
Yes.
There are 2 of them.
Oh, good bunch of guys. Looking forward to it. If you want to inquire about open bowling, maybe want to get a new bowling ball, shoes, equipment, check with Andy Dirks from the pro shop out there at May City Bowl. Give the alley a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
We'll tell you how it comes out tomorrow. Todd Prommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way next, right here on KGYM. Have a great Wednesday night.
My number 2 does not look like a number 2. I don't know what to call it. Is there an